think there's some things that education gives you. I mean, life lessons are invaluable, for sure. But I think one thing that a traditional education gives you, you know, through university or trade school or whatever it is that you choose to do, it only adds that other layer to your ability to communicate, to be able to interact with other people, mm-hmm. to be able to say, hey, I did this and I stuck with it, right? It says something about your ability to, I don't know, endure.
All right, Tina, thanks so much for being here.
Absolutely, Dom.
This is a semi round two because we tried to do it online and the internet was terrible. But yes. Okay. So some cool things real quick. You have your company, but you went back to school. Remember we talked about mm-hmm. this and I thought it was such a really interesting conversation to have because you got your bachelor's degree and then you waited and then went back to school to get your MBA at SU, by the way. Go T-Birds.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But what was it like for you going back to school later in life?
Well, I definitely was the oldest
in my
cohort, which was okay. It was, my brain doesn't function as quickly as it did when I was in my, you know, 20s.
sure.
But I felt more focused as a student.
Mm.
And had life experience to that point to where I was like, oh, I see how this applies. So it wasn't just theory, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't just theory about when you get to that part of your life. It was, oh, I should have known this before.
Yeah. That is interesting, isn't it? But I think that's one of the funny things about MBAs. The only requirement that I didn't have to, and maybe this was the same thing for you, but the only requirement I didn't have to fulfill was the GMAT. Did you take the GMAT?
I actually had taken the GMAT, but it was long ago, enough ago that they didn't consider it.
Okay. But did you have to retake it then?
I didn't have to retake it.
Okay. Correct. Yeah, because I was like, I had came from a business school and then so my GPA let me waive it.
Yep.
But I don't even know if they make you take the GMAT anymore.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. I know they stopped it during COVID.
Yeah.
Like, because you couldn't go into a testing center and there was no way to like,
take it online at home. Yeah.
Yeah. Because the whole, except did you ever have to take those proctor exams?
Yes.
Those were so dumb. Yes. Did you know that those are, they're like a federal court rule, those like an invasion of privacy or whatever?
Oh, really?
Well, so you know how you used to have to, like at the beginning of my degree anyway, you had to like scan your room or whatever?
Yes.
So you don't have to do that anymore. I think you still have to like show your ID or whatever.
Right.
But the room scan wasn't.
Oh,
and I had to get a whole
invasion
different
of privacy. Yeah, I remember. trying to flip my computer all the way around. I'm like,
I already got the degree. I would point my camera up and just circle my camera. I was like, you can't. I was like, no way, I'm not doing this. But anyway, yeah, that was interesting. I always said like, I got through college and I didn't have to take any of the standardized tests. So I've never taken the SAT, ACT, anything like that.
There you go.
Because I went to community college first.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
it's a great path.
Yeah, I think if you're going to go the formal education route, I think going to community college, like knocking it out because, I don't know, the general education requirement anywhere are the same, I think.
Right.
But tell me more. There was a pretty big gap. Did you have to like do anything different because you had like there was that big gap?
Mm. You know, I don't remember that there was anything different per se. I did. After I had graduated with my undergrad in interpersonal communication, I had graduated from SU, although I also had gone to BYU and Weber State before then.
Yeah.
But I had moved to Texas and decided I wanted a career in teaching. And so I actually came back to SUU.
Oh.
So I guess they were used to me doing that. I'm not sure. So I went back and I did my teaching certification.
Yeah.
We subsequently moved to Washington State. And I always knew that I would pursue additional education. And I applied and I went to Trinity Western, which is in British Columbia.
Oh, okay.
And so I crossed the border to go to school up there.
Work?
Yeah, it was same. You had the application process and they accepted you as an international student. And so that's kind of weird, but it wasn't very far away because we lived in Northwest Washington.
Yeah.
And so I had, you know, within the last 5 years or so, I had had classes that I had taken. I'm not sure it would have mattered in the long run, but when I was transferring transcripts, you know, for the application process, it wasn't only a long time ago.
Right. Okay, that's fair. Well, I was just always like, they made me, because I only had like a year gap between my undergrad and my MBA, and they made me take that whole first, did you have to take that first semester of like, they did everything? Like,
I did.
There was like that online piece that you just basically had to pass the test or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was like, I had to do that. And I was like, this is dumb. I was like, I had to, like, you had to take it. There was like an accounting one and two, and then
was
a bunch
there
of
like an Excel one.
Yes. Like, a bunch of stuff. Yeah. 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 And I mean, like, I was like, okay, I'll pass it, but like,
yeah,
come on, man. This is crazy.
It was for the old people. that's there probably.
Yeah, I don't know. Cause I was like, oh, I think I remember it now. I think they said something about an accreditation, like coming from a business accredited school or whatever.
Right. But and I didn't have a business background. And so I was a little bit grateful because I was like, oh, this will help me.
Yeah. 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 What was the hardest class?
Oh, the only B plus I got at 89.4.
Yeah.
So it didn't round up.
Yeah.
Percent was the accounting class.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Yes. I remember you did the 1 year track.
It took me, I think it was like 18 months, but I took a semester off. I didn't go straight.
Yes.
Through.
Okay. So, that's what I did too. Yeah. Cause I was on the year track and then there were two semesters that I only took one class at a time.
Yeah.
So yeah, I essentially missed a semester and it was crazy. So but yeah, I think that 1 year track, I remember talking to my teacher and they were like, she was like, don't do the 1 year. And I was like, I got to do the 1 year.
I got to do the 1 year.
And she's like, okay.
Well, and it's behind you now, right?
Yeah.
That's what I did. And even with my family, you know, as we were discussing it, I can do headstand and we can get through it or we can string it out for a really long time. And it just made more sense.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that. Yeah, because I said the same thing. I was like, we can just knock it out. Like my undergrad was like that. So except for the couple times I went to like BYU, like in school, I did most of my education online. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was great. I think online education is probably where it's supposed to go.
I can see that is the future.
Yeah, there are a couple degrees that still are holding out. And I guess some of them make sense, right? Like obviously, like if you're going to be a doctor, like work with people,
right?
Like go in. But the one that surprised me was a law degree.
Oh, really?
Like they have online law degrees, but they're still super sketchy. Like people don't like them, and I'm like, you're just I don't know, man. Like you're just reading a book anyway. I don't know, but okay. So yeah, that's always really cool. So what like advice do you have for people pursuing education? Maybe they're in a similar spot as you.
It's totally worth it, in my opinion. I think there's some things that education gives you. I mean, life lessons are invaluable, for sure. Mm-hmm. But I think one thing that a traditional education gives you, you know, through university or trade school or whatever it is that you choose to do, it only adds that other layer to your ability to communicate, to be able to interact with other people, to be able to say, hey, I did this and I stuck with it, right? It says something about your ability to, I don't know, endure.
Yeah, that's true. I have had a lot of conversations around because I love the business field and entrepreneur field. So there's always a lot of conversations around formal education or not.
Right.
And here's my thing. This is kind of the conclusion that I've come to, which is like, you have to get your education one way or another. Mm-hmm. So it's a fun statistic that I always throw around is like people who go through a career, right? So they go through a corporate career and they're in there for 5 plus 10 years or whatever, right?
Right.
5 to 10 years. If you start a business after that, you have like a 90% chance of making it more than the person who like just went and like, right, started a business because that's how they were going to get their MBA.
Right.
Like you're 90% more successful.
I believe it.
So you've got like, so either you work for 10 years in the field and then start a business, uh-huh. or you go to school and work, right? Mm-hmm. Or you do both. Like, but you got to get it like.
Yeah. Somehow.
Yeah. Right? Somehow.
It's the curve that no matter, you know, which way you do it, you have to go through it.
Yeah. And of course there's an exception to every rule because we live with 7 billion people on the planet. Right. But
true.
So you do get the college dropouts or the high school dropouts that made it big, but like, sure. I don't know in.
It's the exception, not the.
Yeah. 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 Exactly.
Give yourself the best chance. So.
Well, and just being able to like hold a conversation now, like. Because I remember one of the reasons you said you wanted an MBA was because you wanted to hire somebody with an MBA.
Right. So in the past, for like the past almost 25 years, we've been running a home design company, so in the architectural field. And as we decided we were going to start Pro Plans, and this was a new environment for me, and I determined that, you know, hey, if I was going to hire somebody to be a CEO, I would expect that they would have an MBA. And then I thought, well, why should the requirement be any different for me? And so it was self-imposed, I guess. And I said, if I would expect it of somebody else, it's something that I should probably do. And so I got up in the morning and I started looking, you know, online for what my options were. And SGU's online MBA program popped up and I'm like, oh, I know SGU. And I turned in my application later that morning. I said something to my husband and I'm like, so I just applied for an MBA program. And he's like, you did what?
Well, yeah, just apply. You never know what's going to happen.
Right.
Plus SU is very affordable as far as an MBA goes.
Absolutely.
Like, because if you just, you know, and that's one of the other arguments around formal education, which is like, where do you go?
Where do you go?
What do you do? Right. Yeah. And I don't know, in 2023 and onward, I just don't know if it matters where you go anymore. Even Ivy League now, like we've had the debacles with in the last couple of weeks with Harvard and Yale and these guys. And it's like, so now it seems like it doesn't even really matter. Like you got big companies coming out and saying they're like, we don't care if you're from Harvard or not.
Right.
So they're losing a lot of their prestige.
Take your education seriously. Though when you go, right?
Yeah.
Make sure that you're getting out of it. You're not just trying to skate by, but take the education for the education.
Yeah. Because you do know the difference. It's very easy to tell who went to school.
Do you want the doctor who actually, you know, cheated, or do you want the doctor who actually knows his trade, right?
Exactly. Exactly. That's crazy. But that's super interesting. And what made you want to start your company in the beginning?
So that's a great question. Since we were part of the architectural field, we had decided that we wanted to, you know, build our own houses. And we'd been doing lots of remodeling and things like that. Mm-hmm. And my husband's been in the construction industry, you know, at different parts of it for his whole life. And so we thought, hey, let's build some homes that we design. Right. And then as an architect, you walk on a project and you can see what's going on. Maybe an average homeowner might not be able to notice some of the same things that an architect would as you get on site. But we were like, I wonder why they built it that way. I'm pretty sure I included a cut sheet for that, you know, design or whatever. And so as we were trying to understand what was going on, we realized that the communication was broken and that people weren't getting updated information in a timely manner, and that just trades were having, they were struggling to communicate with each other, whether it was through the general contractor or whatever. And so we determined that the next time we built a house that we would find a better solution. And so we had gone down to the International Builder Show in Las Vegas and started looking around. And from the architect's point of view, we didn't see any solutions that we thought were equitable, I guess.
Yeah.
And so we started ideating at that point and thinking like, you know what? We have enough knowledge that we can help the industry. And so as we got moving forward, ProPlans comes from its communication. So think Slack, but designed specifically for the construction industry.
Okay.
Right? So the hub of the information are the plans, and the communication happens around the plans.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, so you can kind of like real time make changes and see what's going on and stuff like that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's, which is, you know, I was only in, I've only done construction a few times when I was young. My mm-hmm. grandpa was a GC.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember the old, like, I remember you'd have to get there early. Yeah. And I remember he had a whole table, like a drafting table or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you'd have to get there early and talk over the plan with everybody. And then it changes halfway through the day because, you know, on paper doesn't work with this wood or whatever, you know, or yeah. whatever they're doing. And uh-huh. so you got to change it on the fly sometimes. And relaying that is difficult.
Well, and then just being able to remember what I'm supposed to do by the time I get into that upstairs bathroom and be like, what were the measurements? And then yeah. having to walk downstairs and been like, oh, yeah. And then back upstairs again. So with Pro Plans, you have your information where you need it, when you need it. Yeah. And in the industry, the statistics say that boots on the ground people spend 3 hours a day actually working. The other 5 hours a day they're spent searching for information, tools, and material.
Yeah.
So what if we could be more efficient? If we can gain another hour or 2 hours, even 3 hours, right?
Yeah.
To where then we're building things twice as fast as we were because we're more efficient.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. It's the same in the sales world too. Like you're really only working so much time out of the day because the rest is like prepping and getting ready for it. Yeah.
Traveling, whatever.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. That's right. I don't know about that. My grandpa made me get up way too early to go do some of this stuff. But yeah.
The construction industry are hard workers.
Yeah, they are. They do early mornings and late nights for sure. Okay. Yeah. Those guys are crazy. Now, when did you start your business? How long ago?
So just a few years ago, we started ideating and doing interviews with industry professionals and kind of making sure that we had a really good product market fit. Okay. And so for the last couple of years, we've been heads down developing and we've got our beta. We're just working on getting from beta to our version one so we can do a formal release.
Yeah.
But the product is available on the app stores. And so
that's crazy. So you built an app?
We built an app.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. So mobile first design, very easy to use. That was basically our premise.
Yeah. Well, that's that in the construction field, that is probably how you have to do it.
Yep.
You probably can't do it on a laptop or whatever.
Yeah, and not unless you're taking your laptop because most contractors, you know, they work out of their truck. And
right.
and a lot of times they can't do anything on some of the apps or computer programs that they have until they get back to the office at their house or the office at the office, right?
Right.
And so with Pro Plans and being a mobile first design, you can do anything from your phone that you can do from your computer.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that would be a big one. I was thinking about that. I was like, yeah, if you work from your truck, you'd probably have to have like but I don't think those are legal to have like those computer stands in your truck.
I don't know. Well, I guess not while you're driving.
Yeah, probably not while you're driving. But yeah. Anyway, that's crazy. So, okay. So you're just about to launch V1. You've got a bunch of beta.
Yep.
Hey, how much was it to build an app? I've heard different numbers.
Yeah. And you know, with Pro Plans, I don't know, maybe you consider it more of a super app. You know, as opposed to just one thing, because it's important to bring all the information together. So we have the digital plans with markups and real-time updates, right? And so we have a single source of truth, but we have the messaging app that works around the information. We have a to-do and we have a document library. So you can keep all associated documents, pictures, and videos, and all the important information in one place.
Interesting.
And so we're not just doing one thing, right?
Yeah.
We're trying to help the industry keep information in one place so that it's not siloed around. So I guess it depends upon how effective your developers are.
Yeah. I was going to say, I've heard apps north of 250,000.
Yep, for sure. Yep. And that's even if you're outsourcing your development to another country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If you have a US app developer.
Much more expensive. Yeah,
good luck.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. Good luck. Have you guys raised any money to start this venture? Is it bootstrapped or?
So we have put a significant amount of our own money into the process.
Of course.
But early on, we raised money from some prominent industry professionals that believed in what we were doing, that knew that they didn't have a solution that was, you know, what they needed. And like I said, they believed that in what we were doing. And so they contributed some money early on. So we have about 10 investors that came on with a safe a couple years ago.
Okay.
And so they've helped us get to where we are.
That's cool. And it, when you were with those investors, was it a piece of the company? Was it give us the app when it's ready? Or like, because I know there's a few ways to do that with tech that I've heard of, right? That some people will do like, you know, money in exchange for equity or capital in exchange for services, right? Or like some kind of, sometimes a hybrid.
Yep. Some of them have acted as part of our beta testing, and which has been really helpful for their feedback. But when they invested, we took the investment and they signed a safe note, which is a simple agreement for future equity. So eventually we'll get to a point where that investment will convert to equity.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's the kind of the track that we're going down
trying
with
to
them.
Do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going with them. That's really cool. And okay. So you got 10 people doing that. That's really fun. How close are you to V1?
We're just months away. We need to get from where we are to our V1. We have some new UX and UI that we need to implement.
Very cool.
As we move forward, it's going to be fantastic.
What did you learn? So here's something that's always interesting. I think it's fun going to get an MBA. What was like one of the more surprising things when you started the company? Like what, because you know, you say UX, UI. Now, most, if you're not in business, you probably don't know what that means.
Those are.
And if you're not on the right side of business, you probably don't even know what that means. Like I didn't know what UX UI was for a long time.
Right.
Until I was in tech. Right?
Yep. Oh, for sure. That was the biggest curve. Just understanding the jargon. And it's like saying something in the construction industry. Like
that's fair.
The construction industry has its own jargon as well. Yeah. But I remember saying a lot, what's that mean? So the UX is like the user experience, how easy it is for the person who's trying to use the product to use the product, and the user interface is what does it look like when I open it? Am I going to be like happy? Do I like the colors and the interactions and the, you know, the changes as I use the program?
Right. Yeah. And a lot of people don't realize how UX UI is one of those things that we don't that we kind of take for granted as consumers because we don't really understand how that works. But
and it's relatively new. I mean,
that's fair.
A lot of times the developers were like, you know, people would say, I need it to do this. And so the developer did it. And then it was like clunky, right?
Yeah, it was
and
like,
so
oh, yeah.
There's a whole new career in user experience. Oh, yeah. And
UX
user
UI
right?
UX UI developers are big.
Yep. They're so big, now it's like, well, how smoothly can we get there and how few clicks can we get there instead of going through this whole process?
Right.
It's like trying to find something in your file system in Word. You go to this and then you go to this and then you go to this and then you go to this and you finally get in the file, right? Yeah.
Or they make a search bar and then you can type it in and go right there, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Go like that. I mean, which is one of the reasons why I think Apple is such a cool case study. I mean, not that anybody should compare themselves to Apple, but it's one of the reasons why they're so good is because like their UX UI is just
fantastic.
Yeah. It's just flawless, seamless. You know what I mean?
And they don't release anything unless it's working.
Yeah. That's
which is helpful.
Or they update it real quick. You know, you go from 17 really to 17.1 in like a day. That's super interesting. And so you started this, just a couple of years ago. Was it your plan to start a business from youth or what happened?
It wasn't my plan.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, very common with entrepreneurs.
I did marry an entrepreneur.
That's fair. Good for you.
And really Samuel's vision and passion are really what propel us.
Yeah. That's very cool. So starting that business later in life, I'm just fat because we're in Utah, right? So like.
And I'm a woman in the construction industry.
Yes, that's right.
Just saying.
Yeah. We'll talk about that.
Point out the obvious.
Yeah, that's right. But you know, in Utah, it's more of like a younger thing. You don't really see, I mean, in kind of in general, you don't see a lot of like entrepreneurs later in life. Although that's the story, right? Is like Oprah didn't get her first show until she was 40 or whatever, right? Like, and now where she's at, I can't remember at what age she was, but you know, you get the stories of like that. So how was that for you? Like stepping into entrepreneur later in life and maybe taking that leap.
And in the tech industry.
And in the tech industry and in the construction industry. Yeah. And with, you know, like, you know, if you come from like communications and teacher background, I'm going to assume that probably risk averse, not, you know what I mean? Yeah. Probably like, I'm, you know, we're just going to do things, you know, which isn't bad, by the way. Risk averse is fine. You know what I mean? That's what you got to be. You have to have that balance. But I'm just, you know, I've just heard that it's probably not an easy transition to go from like, okay, we're going to do this by the book. We're going to kind of do it safe versus like, hey, we just got to go. And I don't
toss
know.
Toss the book out the window and here we go. Get in the car with me and let's drive.
Right. And you're like, I don't know how this is going to work, but we'll figure it out.
Yep. On the way.
Fix it as we break it. Right.
Yep. For sure. I played a lot of sports when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And I think it led me to be a little bit more bold than I might otherwise have been.
All right.
And so just personally, I don't mind the risks so much, but, you have to definitely be comfortable with that more risky scenario.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Because that's crazy. How do you assess risk personally? Like whether you're going to make a decision or not.
Yeah. I think it happens in my heart and my head mm-hmm. and they need to agree.
That's fair.
Right.
That's fair. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. One of my things is, I guess that's true. I look at opportunities, from a very counterintuitive approach, which is like, if I lose everything, will I be okay? And if the answer is yes, then I go for it.
Yep.
Like what happened? So a really good example of this is like when I was in my first sales, position, mm-hmm. I remember we were all doing stuff and there was the salesman who just like was so scared to like go talk to people and stuff. And so the GM, I don't know if this was like hazing or whatever, but it was really funny because he basically like lied to the salesperson. There was this customer who came in and he was like, oh, you got this. I've met this customer before. They're really nice. They're going to be great. Go take this to him. This will be a great, easy one for you. And the kid just goes out there super confident. He's like, oh yeah. And this customer just lost his mind.
Worst.
Yeah, he's just the worst customer. Shoot. Like, I mean, everything that could go wrong in a sale at that point went wrong.
Did? Oh.
And the kid comes back and he's just so flustered and all the emotions are happening. And then the sales manager goes, yeah, totally lied to you. He's like, the sales manager then said something that I haven't forgotten in 10 years, which was like, what just happened to you was the worst thing that could ever happen to you on the sales floor. Ever.
It's only going
to
get better.
And he's like, and you didn't die. And you're fine. And I'm not mad at you. Yeah. And we're good. Yeah. He's like, so have fun.
You do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So now you're good. Everything. Yeah. 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 And I was like, that's it. That's life right there. Like if you can survive the worst thing that happened to you, just get up and go for it, you know?
Yeah. And it feels like that almost every day.
Yeah. That's what they don't tell you about being an entrepreneur. I think one of the big cons about living in Utah with our entrepreneurial spirit, there's very many pros. I think one of the cons is that we kind of glorify it a little too much. It's very lonely and it's very depressing.
It's a lot of work.
It's not
and
a very
you have
fun.
To be prepared and need to be not afraid.
Yeah. How do you deal with all the, I don't want to say negative emotions, but maybe the opposite emotions?
You know, my husband and I, Samuel and I have always been pretty positive.
Yeah.
And so I think when you can reframe something into understanding that, you know, maybe it's a timing factor.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a kind of understanding that emotional resilience that you need in order to not let those opposing emotions overwhelm you, that you need to frame them in a way that you can actually control your emotions so that you can actually be productive as you move forward.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's kind of like one of those things that it's just kind of like acceptance theory, which is like, this is going to happen. It's going to suck. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to be a lot worse than I think, but we've still got to go through it kind of thing.
Right.
How is it? Now you brought this up, but I always love talking about it. I've had a lot of women entrepreneurs on the show, a ton. And I always like exploring that because I think it helps, you know, men develop empathy. But yeah, women in construction, that's a pretty big one.
You know, and we have the house that she built. We have women entering the construction industry more frequently than ever before.
Yeah.
And the single biggest problem in the construction industry by far is poor communication. And it costs the United States $177 billion per year.
Yeah.
It's 10 to 15 to maybe even higher, right?
Well,
of every project.
And I'll go out there and say that is probably directly correlated to male dominated industry right there. Yeah. You don't have to tell me about that.
Well, if we can communicate better, we can help. Yeah, right?
Right.
And so, you know, not that every single woman is perfect at communication.
Sure. Yeah, but I hear you.
But the improvement that is necessary for the construction industry comes through communication.
Yeah.
And technology can help us do that.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, one of the big things is just getting people to understand that communication is such a big deal, dude. Well, and you kind of, cause you kind of see it like with what you're building, but also just in general, just like, holy cow.
Right. Well, every industry, when they can find that, they can communicate better, there's a better experience. I mean, if you look at Discord, right, for gamers or WhatsApp.
Oh, I love Discord, yeah.
Or, right, Slack for the business community.
By the way, I use Discord for business, not for gaming. Well, only because it's the exact same thing and it's free.
But. Right, right. But as you apply a way to communicate better and get everybody on the same page, you can improve your productivity, right? The same thing that we were talking about, efficiency, right, in the construction industry. And you get people on the same page. If you need to follow up with it in face-to-face, but hey, let's get everybody the information that they need in a place where they can get it.
Yeah, yeah. I guess maybe I should ask it this way. Have you seen any pushback kind of leading this initiative in the construction industry, being a woman? And then if so, how have you handled that?
No pushback being a woman for sure. I've been invited down to like the Southern Utah Home Builders Association, to teach CE classes on communication and how better communication leads to bigger bottom line, which is helpful, right? Because, the construction industry is financially driven, right?
Yeah.
It's one of the biggest industries in the world. And so, who doesn't want to keep a little bit more money in their pocket?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's a big one. I remember I helped train some salespeople and they're not called, and this is also funny about sales. They're just, what's that Shakespeare line? A rose by any other name.
Right. Yeah. Smells sweet. Yeah.
Smells sweet. Yeah. I had a physics professor say he's a rose by any other name stinks. like salespeople are just called different things, but what are they called in the construction industry? Are they're like the bid guys, the project, not project managers, but the guys who go bid? Estimators?
Yeah.
This is a sales guy. That's a sales guy, right?
Because you're like, you're going to say how much it's going to cost and this is why I cost more, but you're going to get a better job.
Yeah, exactly. Like yeah. So we did some estimator guys and some of those just evaluators. I helped train some people in those and big deal. Like again, communication, like one of the things that I always find fascinating is how much people realize you just need to know how to sell and like teaching those guys. Like, I don't know anything about construction. Like, I don't know how much a 2x4 costs or should cost. But it's not that, to me, that's not the point. To me, it's like, you guys know that, but being able to like communicate that.
Yep, you have to communicate that effectively.
Yep.
And part of the strategy comes through education.
Yeah.
Right? So let me help explain why, right?
Then
once you understand, you know, then you can make a change in your behavior.
Yeah.
Right?
And I always approach that team more. I prefer a question-based sales framework.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because there's two sayings in sales that will live forever. One of them is everybody wants to buy, but nobody wants to be sold, right? And the other one is, and maybe you heard this in education, but I stole it from education, which is like everybody wants to learn, but nobody wants to be taught.
Absolutely.
So like, how do you do that? And then a good teacher will ask questions.
Yep, absolutely. And if you think back on your favorite teachers that you had in elementary school or high school or college, trade school, wherever it was, you were getting your education, even if it was a mentor.
Yeah.
Right. it's not, this is how you need to do it. And this is what you do. It's like, yeah. Hey, let's explore this a little bit. How might you go about doing this?
Right.
Let's talk about some strategies and you feel like you're exploring and inventing and that creative process is happening inside you.
Right.
And then it gets retained as opposed to, okay, I have to, you know,
we're going to sit here and learn
through this lecture.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody's just going to teach me. Right. And it's like, I think it's a lot of like ego in that sense, but it's a good thing to know. Like, I love human nature. I love like the psychology behind how we interact with each other. And that's probably one of the biggest ones that I think people miss is that big, like we all have it. Like, you don't have to sit here and teach me anything, right? You're like, probably why MBA professors are kind of mean. You're just in there with a bunch of egos, right? Like we're all, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I hear you.
Did you have a mean one? Because I had one mean one.
You know.
That was probably our egos class. That's
probably it. I didn't. I really appreciate people who put themselves on the line to try and help somebody learn.
Yeah, yeah.
Just coming from that background, because it takes a lot.
Yeah, right? It does. And I couldn't be a teacher.
The teachers are outnumbered.
Wow.
By a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And what are we? We're in Utah with like the lowest paid teacher. Like I think we're probably. I think we're in the bottom 10 for paid.
Probably.
I think so.
And this is where our future generations are coming from.
Isn't that crazy? I usually have Enrique here to help me fact check these, but I think I saw too that Utah spends like, I think we're on the bottom portion of spending on per child. It totally is possible.
I looked at those kind of statistics.
But I was just like, when you talk about teacher, I'm like, dang, dude, that's crazy.
Right. But if you, I'll get on my soapbox a little bit. You switch that around and you pay teachers more, you get more competitive application process,
absolutely.
And then you have an improvement in the teacher core.
Yeah, I think we don't have to get political, but I always think, you know,
I taught
U.S. Department of Education should go. That's what I'm saying.
I taught seventh and eighth grade math down in Arizona when I was there. And I'd have my algebra kids that they would say, oh, Mrs. Hackwell, why do we have to learn this? Right.
Yeah,
I'm like, well, can your parents help you with your homework? And they're like, no, our parents can't even help us with our homework. And I'm like, well, don't you want to be able to help your seventh or eighth grader with their homework? So at a minimum, right?
Yeah.
You want to understand a little bit of algebra so you can help your seventh grader when they get this far along.
Well,
Then they realize that, oh my gosh, it's now I can apply it, right?
Yeah.
Because algebra is really the most used, unless you're a CPA.
Right. That's right. It's very elementary math.
Right. That algebra is how you figure things out. And in the construction industry, I mean, you throw geometry in there on top of it. So.
Yeah. Well, and to be fair, I like education because I'm in the camp of it's not what you're learning, it's how you're learning it. So like, I took an applied physics class one time. Mm-hmm. I don't use physics at all. And I don't even remember anything from the class. What I do remember though, is the process we had to approach the problems with.
Yeah.
Like I don't use calculus every day, but I do use the same things that I do to learn calculus. I use that every day.
Yeah.
And process. The process of learning calculus, I use that every day. And I would not have learned that, or I would have been forced to learn that if I wouldn't have taken that class. Right. So like, I do push back on people when they're like, oh, you don't use calculus every day. And I'm like, probably not. But like the fact that you can go into a situation and be like, I don't know the answer, but I know how to get it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you went to calculus.
Yep. Absolutely. Because that's just as important. Not necessarily knowing it, but knowing how to find it.
Yeah.
I agree.
When I had my resume, it was kind of a gag, but it was also serious, like professional Googler.
Right.
So like people ask me about that and I'd be like, well, if I don't know the answer, I'll definitely find it for you.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. I love it.
I love it.
All right, cool. Well, before I let you go, tell everybody where they can find Pro Plans, how they can follow you, if there's a waiting list, all that good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So the platforms are open. The platforms are available on both app stores. You can download them to your phone. Our web address is proplans.build.
Okay, very cool.
Proplans.build.
Very cool.
And you can get access to the app on your desktop through the website.
Cool.
And love to help you with your projects.
Yeah, 100%.
Love feedback too as yeah. we finish out our beta and head toward RV1.
Yeah, wonderful. All right. Well, thank you so much, Tina. It was great.
It was my pleasure. All right.